Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Watch us online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. Listen to 5,000 hours, more than 5,000 hours of archived full radio shows, the greatest radio show, the greatest talk radio show in the history of the world. And I think that's being proven now more than ever before, because as talk radio slowly self-immolates with the, there's nothing left. You know, there's no more political talk. Everybody's running for cover with sports talk. Well, you can only have one or two sports talk stations in a market. You can't have five, guys. I know you wish that you could, but you can't. We have been all about on this show for years and years. We've been all about content on this show, real content, not hiring some hack to sit who used to be maybe a newspaper writer, or sold bottled water, or at one time, was a caller, and giving the guy a show so that he can be the 7 millionth guy to bag on Obama, and the end result now is there's no money left in the medium. Our show is the antidote. Our show, shows like ours, if there are any, where we're all about the content. We're not about some jive ass sitting there and being a political lemming. So check it out, philhenryshow.com. Check out the thousands of hours that we have. Check out our podcast. Check out our website in general, our webisodes, all of the miscellany, like our interviews, radio interviews, television interviews, and our Bobby Dooley podcast, which is free. We've got a lot of free. We have a free section. If you go to it, says free stuff. You can see the Bobby Dooley stuff. You can see our YouTube channel, which we got to sort of spice that up a little bit, don't we?
Well, what do you mean spice it up? When you say that, people are going to think,
yeah, we're going to think you got to put a nude in there.
A nude?
Well, when you say spice it up, what do you want? Something?
No, I'm just saying, more cool stuff. What happened to the Tebow stuff? Here it is. All right. So,
more cool stuff. I don't know.
More content, more material, and plus stuff that isn't necessarily from the show, but maybe it's me talking straight to the YouTube viewer about what our show's about. All right, so check us out, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Joe Dickhead and the professor will join us here in just a moment, I should say. But before they do, just a update that last night's ball game, the Monday night game between the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots, turned on a ruling that initially the call was, I think, a pass interference call against the Carolina Panthers on a New England Patriot receiver. The official then picked up the flag saying, no, on second thought, it is not pass interference because the pass was not catchable. Now there's been a second guessing, as there usually is, and this from a former NFL official by the name of Jim Deopoulos. Jim spoke about the controversial call. He was asked about back judge Terry Miles picking up the flag that he initially threw for pass interference. And this Mr. Deopoulos said, I gotta tell you, he should have stood by his initial call, because for a ball to be uncatchable, it has to be clearly out of the field of play, or it has to be kind of, and then he said the thing that I guess was what got the headline. He said, maybe I shouldn't say this, a Tim Tebow-type pass that lands 15 yards in front of you.
Oh, my God. So he slammed on that fine young man. I know that Tim Tebow is a Jesus guy, and that puts people off. But I think he's a wonderful young man.
I don't think anybody doubts that. I think he's a terrific kid, too. I don't know that he's a great quarterback, but he's been a wonderful story. And he didn't need that, you know.
Well, I think that that's very insulting, and I think whoever made that statement should be censored or otherwise brought to heel or brought on the carpet.
Well, I don't know that they can, because he's a former official.
Well, what does that mean?
That means he's not, what? He's not official no more.
I understand that, but is he still beyond the purview?
Well,
I'm not done, bud. Is he still beyond the purview, woo, of the N, whatever it is, the N...
NFL? Probably. If he's retired, he's no longer employed by them. He can say whatever the hell he wants to say. Calling us here from Gold's Gym Gold's Gym in Hollywood, California, is Joe Dickhead. Along, I don't think the professor is with you, Joe. How you doing tonight?
Well,
I'm doing great, and we had a bit of a recovery here on the pitch that we did this past weekend, so there's no doubt about that.
You did have a recovery. You were going into the Monday night game 6-7, and you finally evened it up.
We did even it up. So if you're asking me what about that call, I think the call that was made was the proper call. I don't think that you can... that's a judgment call, and this guy Diopoulos, I wouldn't know him if I tripped over him in the dark, and he's making a second-guessing statement there when he's saying, well, this should have been a flag, but he should have stood by that. When you talk about an uncatchable ball, you have to be on the field of play, and you have to be able to see whether or not that ball can be caught, whether that ball is indeed catchable or not. I don't think that's a decision you make from a press box. I certainly don't think it's a decision you make from the living room of Jim Diopoulos. Having said that, of course... he is a former official. He's entitled to his opinion.
Well, that call saved the Carolina Panther win, and as such, you guys did pick Carolina to win the ball game. They went on to win it, and you guys wound up the weekend 7-7. What are you total for the season?
Well, this is only the second weekend that we've been calling games here on the Phil Henry Show. Of course, we've had the Joe Dickhead and the Professor Sports Hotline there in Las Vegas. We're in Los Angeles right now, attending a couple of functions, some dinners, and I'm working out right now.
You work out, huh?
Can I ask Joe something?
Go ahead.
Joe, this is Margaret Gray. Are you lifting? What are you doing?
I'm doing some lifting, yeah. I'm trying to get my chest. I want to bulk out. I want to get my chest bigger. I want to get my arms bigger. I want the guns. I want to look like some of these guys who've got the big chests and the big arms and the big shoulders so that when I take my jacket off, I've got a big, bad look of muscles, you know, instead of being a scrawny little... elderly man. You know, I'm 70 years of age, but there's no reason why I can't have a ripped and a really ripped six-pack and everything.
You talk about having a six-pack, Joe. I mean, 70 years old, how are you going to do that?
Is that dangerous?
What do you mean? What does that mean? Is it dangerous? How can it be dangerous? Giving my stats ridiculous.
You're not taking any steroids, are you?
I'm not taking any steroids. I'm lifting. I'm doing some aerobics. I do dumbbells in the morning, I'm curling, I'm doing squats, and I want to get a six-pack, and I want to have the big guns, and tighten up the rear end, and look like I mean business here by the end of the football season.
So in time for the Super Bowl.
There you go, in time for the Super Bowl, so that when I'm walking into the press box, I'm 70 years of age, and I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say it would be nice, even at the age of 70, to have some woman... If I can use the language, Phil, I mean, my name is Dickhead, so I guess, you know, looking at my ass. Now, that is what I'm hoping will happen. That's what I'm counting on happening. That's what I'm booking on happening.
What kind of, you want to give some odds on that?
What are you trying to be, is that a smart-ass comment? Or?
No, I mean, yeah, look, all power to you, man, getting into that kind of shape, and hey... If you can be 70 and have some chick looking at your ass, that's great, you know.
Well, there's a lot of 70-year-old women, I'm sure, that might be able to make that statement. I'm sure that Sophia Loren probably has a few men eyeballing her rear end.
Well, it's good for her. I know I do, I'll tell you that. And Margaret, too.
You mean me?
No, Anne Margaret.
Ann.
Well, no, he said and Margaret, too. You're looking at my ass.
No, I said Anne Margaret, not Anne Margaret.
Well, I don't understand.
Margaret, you're aware of an actress named Anne Margaret.
Oh, Anne Margaret, I'm sorry, yes.
Yes, Anne Margaret.
Looking at her, I don't mean to tell, you know, Anne, if you're listening, I love you. She's got she's a fat slob.
Anne Margaret's a fat slob?
Oh, for God's sake, she's got that toilet sloppy ass.
Well, I at this point in my life, I could care if the ass is toilet sloppy. I'll take all of it. I'll take all of it I can get, and then some. And
all right, let's move on off of this and talk about the ball game. And let's talk about Joe Dickhead and the Professor and your picks. Now, you went 7-7 this past weekend after opening up 9-4. You have an unusual way of picking games.
Absolutely, Phil. It is unusual. It's very unorthodox. But we do believe in it, and I'd love to tell you about it.
All right, hold on the line, because we're going to take a break. Joe Dickhead with us from Joe Dickhead and the Professor. He's here in Los Angeles. He's at Gold's Gym right now working out. They operate from Las Vegas. They have their offices there in Las Vegas. Opened up 9-4 last week, so they began making their picks partially through the middle of the season. And opened up, as I say, they opened up at 9-4 last week, went 7-7 this week. So they're at 16 and 11, I think, all told. So we'll be back with Joe Dickhead and find out about how it is they... what is the methodology, man? It's pretty weird. Wait till you hear this. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Joe Dickhead with us from Joe Dickhead and the Professor as we talk about the... track record so far this year. It's only been 2 weekends of their football picks. Now, Joe, as we talk about your methodology, we want people to know the history here. You guys were not doing too good picking football games in the traditional way. Isn't that correct?
That is absolutely correct, Phil. It's something that I've got no problem with telling people about because we were not, as you say, successful, and we were losing customers. As the word was out that Joe Dickhead and the Professor didn't know their rear end from a hole in the ground, and our names notwithstanding, on the one hand my name indicating that I don't know what I'm doing, and on the other hand the Professor's name indicating that he does, and it's actually completely the opposite. He doesn't know what he's doing, I do all the picks.
So what does he do?
Well, he's there for window dressing, he's there to make it look as if we've got two heads are better than one, etc. But all we do is use a formula. Now, I will tell you about the Professor. He did come up with the formula for next weekend, which I'll tell you about. The first weekend formula was the head coach with the most vowels in his last name. Excuse me, that was last weekend. I'm sorry. Last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. The formula was whichever team is perceived to be more popular, we picked the opposite team. So, in other words, when Dallas played New Orleans, we perceived not Dallas. We thought people were sick to death of Dallas, and so we perceived that New Orleans was the more popular team, so we went with the opposite team, Dallas. That was a bad pick. That was a bad pick. That was a loss, as New Orleans defeated Dallas, defeated them rather soundly. However, we did go 9-4 using that methodology. So, of the games, the 13 games that we picked, 9 of them were correct guesses that the team we picked was the opposite of the more popular team.
Okay. Now, this past weekend, what was the method?
This past weekend, the method was the team whose head coach has the most vowels in his last name, we picked. Now, I want to thank Adam from Facebook, who pointed out very carefully, and I came back with a very rude response. I said, why don't you pound it with a sundae? I said something like that. He said that we blew it picking Kansas City over Denver because... Denver, their interim head coach was Jack Del Rio, who in point of fact had more vowels in his last name than Andy Reid. We had picked Kansas City based on what we believed was the head coaching of John Fox. He was not there. John Fox has been hospitalized or is taken ill or is otherwise incapacitated.
Was it John Fox in the hospital for... A heart malady or something?
I think he's had some surgery, something, nothing hopefully serious, I don't think it is. But Jack Del Rio is the interim head coach, and this young man pointed that out, and he said, had you picked Denver based upon the vowels in Jack Del Rio's last name, you would have had them beating Kansas City. We ignored that, we told him to mind his own business and to butt out, and I was wrong. And I will tell you this much, I was inclined to go with him. The Professor was the one who said, and I'm telling you...
You know, the Professor's not there to defend himself, you know, so...
What are you saying?
Well, we're not saying anything. Joe, this is Margaret. I think what we're saying is, you know, how do we know the Professor did all the things you're saying?
Because I'm telling you I'm telling you this, this is the MS. The Professor had it... I'm telling you, had it been me, this is the truth, had it been me, I would have gone along with the kid, but the Professor said no, in that dull-witted way that he does things. Next week, we've got a formula that the Professor himself has come up with. I don't know, but we're going to go with it.
Okay, what is it?
Next week, we are picking the team to win is the team that represents the city with the least number of high school graduates. Now, this is going to take some work.
The least number of high school graduates.
I don't understand this. Why don't you pick these games?
I just got done telling you, Margaret, I'll say it again, because the picking them in the traditional way, we got our ass handed to us. We're going to be out of business. I got a business to run. What's the matter? I got to kick asses sometimes.
Oh.
I don't understand you clowns at all. You're picking football games based on the high school graduates.
See, they were not good doing it the regular way, the way you're talking about, where they actually size up the strength of the team.
Yes.
They were lousy. They were rotten.
Well, why not do something else for a living?
Because I want to do... What do you mean, do? I'm going to do what I'm going to do to get the union back, okay? To quote Jack Nicholson the right way. And I believe that... So the professor, anyway, Phil, just to blow past what she's saying, the professor...
Oh, that's all right. You can blow past. I'm just the woman.
Well, it's a moot point, Margaret. We're doing it this way, whether you like it or not. So the in any event, the professor said that we should pick teams that represent cities that have the least, not the most, the least number of high school graduates.
Okay, now, as I get it, there's no rhyme or reason to these methods.
Not at all.
Okay, it's the method itself that determines which team you believe or which team you are stating will win.
That's a very key difference. We don't believe these teams will win. We're simply saying they will win. Do we believe it? No, we have no idea. How can I pick a team based on the number of vowels in a hedge coach's last name?
You said, by the way, you said hedge coach.
I meant head coach. There's no hedge coach. There's no coach of a hedge.
Okay, bud?
Yeah, just...
Wow. Anyway, you know, that's insulting for that dumbass to...
Just go ahead and finish what you're saying.
All right, so what I'm saying is the following thing. Next week, and so this is going to present some problems for us, because when you take a team like the Minnesota Vikings, are we talking about the least number of high school graduates in Minneapolis? Are we talking about the least number of high school graduates in St. Paul? Are we talking about the least number of high school graduates in Minnesota? It's tough to say, you know.
Well, I would go with the metropolitan area that it actually is actually supporting the team.
Well, you can't really say that, because... it's a statewide team.
I understand statewide, and they probably have people coming in regionally. But how? Well, I don't know. Is that you know?
I don't care. I don't care whether it indicates the team wins or loses. It doesn't matter to me. We just have to get the. And so I have to talk to the professor about that. Same thing with the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is a very small city. So are you talking about Wisconsin? Are you talking about Milwaukee? Are you talking about Green Bay? So when we get that worked out, we'll let you know. And
so the team that will be winning is the team with the least number of high school graduates. Not the team with the least number of high school graduates.
No, it's the team that has the that represents the city with the least number of high school graduates. So that couldn't be, you know, it'd be anybody's guess. But I tell you what I'll do is I'll go over here to the schedule and take a look at it for you, and we can take an educated guess.
I think that would be interesting.
All right, well, I'm going to go over here to the National Football League schedule. All right, give you an example here, Phil. Coming up this weekend, week 12, you've got the New Orleans Saints against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, one would think that New Orleans has got, and I'm saying this with the greatest of respect, Atlanta has a reputation of being a dumbass city, but that's not true. Atlanta is an island, as I've often heard it said, in a sea of dumb.
Atlanta is an island in a sea of dumb.
What? Does that mean Atlanta? Are you going to represent... Is it the city of Atlanta, or is it the surrounding metropolitan area? See, that's important.
I think wherever the statistics are. I think wherever the statistic is. If we can get a statistic broken out for the city, I'm sure we'll have one broken out for the state. That's probably what we'll go... But wherever the statistic is...
Well, wherever the statistic is... You know, I don't want to get too nitpicky, because obviously this is, you know, not rocket science, but if you have a statistic for both the city, for the metro, as well as the state, which one do you pick?
I personally would go with the metro.
I would, too. I would agree with that.
I would chuck the whole idea and do it like a civilized man and pick it based on the team's strength.
I told you. How many times has this...
Did you call me a broad?
Margaret, just butt out.
Is there toilet paper?
Yes.
Good. Is she going to the toilet?
Yes, I am.
Great, you haven't been all night. God, I'm sorry, Margaret, but, you know, this is my bread and butter, okay? This is my bread and butter, and I want to talk to Phil about it.
All right, fine. So let's take a look here. So you're saying the Saints?
I'm saying the Saints win that game because that's a far more dumbass town than Atlanta. So, boom. Now here we have Baltimore and the New York Jets. Well, three guesses, the first two don't count. Baltimore all the way. You've got to believe that Baltimore has per capita more dumbbells than New York. Then you move on to the Carolina Panthers and the Miami Dolphins. One would think that Miami is loaded with dumbasses, but we're talking about Charlotte, North Carolina here. So,
all right, hold that thought here. And again, that's not what is ultimately going to be the decision, because what's going to be the decision, what am I doing taking this seriously for?
You know, I was just going to say, Phil, I've been sitting here with my jaw hanging open, and you're talking earnestly with some moron about how many dumbasses are in a town, and that means the tea. I can't believe this. And I'm the one sitting here eating the banana pudding.
And you've got some on your chin, too.
Well, I don't give a sweet...
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back here with more from our very deep, close, personal friend here, Joe Dickhead, and the professors, and the professor, as we talk about, you know, as we talk about the forthcoming games and the methodology that these guys are using to pick these ball games. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Seems this world got you down.
Every show, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. We have a video cast of the show every night. We're on Phil TV right now. Coming up on Friday, we are going to have a return to our kind of our Q&A for BSPs. If you're a Backstage Pass member, head on over to our website on Friday at 3 Pacific, and I'll be there, and we'll be talking and chewing the fat and all of that. Joe Dickhead with us, and I said to Joe, and we're going to have, we also have Steve Bozell, who's in the offing. Steve is going to be on. He was not available for the Game of the Week this past week, and we may have seen the last of the Game of the Week simply because of the situation at the Bozell home that we will talk about, and I've asked you not to comment, bud, even though I know you're privy.
Yeah, I do know the situation, and I do.
Well, don't say anything yet.
I'm not saying nothing.
All right. Joe, the thought occurs that as you talk about these games forthcoming this weekend, picking the winning team based on the number of high school graduates, that is, the least number of high school graduates in a given city, their team should win, you're going to have a lot of people already doing the math on that.
You know, I thought about that, Phil, and I told the professor that. The professor wanted to make sure that I talked about the methodology for this weekend's game. And I said to him, I said, well, people are going to start emailing us with the picks because they're going to do the homework for us. And he said, oh, I didn't think of that. And I said to him, you've left me dangling in the breeze. I'm twisting in the breeze here, dangling with my shorts pushed down around my ankles. So if you can imagine a guy who's twisting in the breeze and on top of that, his pants around his ankles.
Sounds like a gallows.
Oh, my God. You don't have to be that graphic.
Phil, what is your problem?
What do you mean, what's my... That's what he was talking about.
Well, I'm not saying I'm hanging by my neck, you know.
Well, if you're twisting in the breeze with your pants...
In any event, let me just finish what I'm saying.
Good God, Phil, we're talking about football here.
Oh, well, okay, Margaret. I mean, I didn't know you were an expert.
Well, apparently you don't have to be. You just pick the number of dumbasses in a city. Wherever you live, Joe, I think they should win the Super Bowl.
Oh, isn't that... Oh, give the lady a cigar. Give the lady another cigar so her teeth can get more yellow.
How dare you, if you were in front of me...
If I was in front of you, ma'am, you would probably be... If I was in front of you and I was also sitting at a slot machine, you'd sit down next to me and ask me for a few... You know what I'm talking about.
So you're called... Oh, my God. Joe, when I see you again, I'm going to beat your ass bloody. That's a promise from me to you. Excuse me.
Margaret.
No, I'm going to go outside and have a white owl. Is there a problem with that?
Go have your white owl, honey.
You know, that was unnecessary, Joe.
Oh, come on. I'm sitting here trying to get a job done, and that woman's she's commenting on... This is a lady. I've known her for a long time. Believe you me.
You didn't have to make comments about the color of her teeth.
Well, she's talking about... Didn't she just say that wherever I live, they ought to win the Super Bowl? That's L.A. We don't have a team. Oh...
You live in Las Vegas.
We don't have a team there either. So, yeah, no, I told him that people are going to do the math, so...
All right, well, why don't you just call it a night here? And I would also say that, to people listening, the methodology for this weekend's game has not been settled on, right?
No, it is not. This was one idea that the professor had, which now we're probably going to throw it out because I'm going to get thousands of emails from people saying, oh, I already did the homework, and I can tell you now that this, that.
All right, well, I appreciate it very much. We've got Steve Bozell standing by. Thank you very much, Joe. Best of luck. Congratulations. I think it's a pretty strong start, 16-11. It's as well as it's as good as some guys do, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think we're doing fine, and I think that, again, we don't want to think too hard about this. All we want to do is start making some money so I can pay some bills and so I can walk around without the rear end hanging out of my slacks. And as we make money, that's when I want to start working out a little more, because you want to be ripped because you have a shirt that doesn't have a hole in it and you've got a pair of pants on that doesn't have the crotch hanging open.
All right, man. See you later.
Goodbye.
There he goes.
That guy, he's my hero. He's always got an angle.
Yeah, Joe Dickhead, folks, from Joe Dickhead and the Professor, and he's now working out, huh?
Yeah, so he wants to get ripped and wants guns.
Is he gone?
Yeah, come on in, Margaret. Where's the general?
He's taking a nap.
Taking a nap?
No, what do you mean taking a nap, you smartass? I'm getting more of the banana pudding.
Oh.
I'm not taking a nap. I was listening to this guy, Dickhead, thinking that no better name could be applied to a jackball like that. And I'll tell you one other thing, too. He was absolutely right in saying that he shouldn't speak of the methodology because he'll have all these other suckers out there telling him what to do. But I will say this. I think his methods are as solid as anybody else's.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about the same thing, and you're right. My anger at Joe notwithstanding, picking the winning team based on the least number of high school graduates or whatever it is he's doing, color scheme of the uniforms, is as solid an idea as these other clowns that you see on television.
Absolutely, and so I'm very anxious to see what this moron picks and is... What, Margaret?
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
You know, that... Forget it.
Well, what's wrong?
Well, what's wrong?
I told you, I thought I've had this established now that I don't keep those in so I don't suffer injury to the esophageal canal.
You know what?
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
No, I don't want to. I'm done.
See, you just ruined it.
Oh, I ruined it. Poor baby.
I'm not going to... Listen, I'm not coming in. I'm not getting sloppy seconds after a belch.
Well, what's wrong with you?
That just, you know, I'm...
All right,
What, are you stunned?
Yeah, I'm stunned. Yeah, I am stunned. Okay, Steve Bozell is on the line with us from Corona, California. And, Stephen, tough weekend for you, as April, your wife, told you that you would not be allowed out of the house. Now, I'm assuming you're at the pond?
You assume right.
Okay, tell me about it. Tell me what's going on. We didn't have a game of the week.
I know that, and I want to tell Dickman, you know, I'm sorry. I'm disappointed for me. I'm also disappointed for you.
No, that's okay. I understand how it goes.
Well,
tell me what happened.
Well, I was all getting all ready, and I was going to drive over to the studio, and I was going to go over to Henry Radio Studio, and I was going to do the game of the week. And I mean, that was on Saturday. What we was doing, we were doing a rundown, right, Bud?
Yeah, we're gonna do a rundown on a rosters and a play selections of the teams and everything.
So you guys were prepping?
Yeah, dumb got me peeked yet. April, could you not be staring at me? My wife is standing there staring at me. I'm out here at the pond. I'm trying to have a little relaxation time. All right. Well, she wants to come out here and make sure. She's monitoring me right now, and I think it's unfair.
You know, you got a situation there. You got a daughter that monitors what you say.
Oh, yeah, she's doing that, too.
You got your daughter daughter monitoring it.
Yeah, and April's here, and I'm at the pond, April. I'm here at the pond. God, man, what a chip. So she's staying. I may have to get on another phone here. I may get on another phone here later on, but all I'm saying is... I was getting ready to come on out to the studio, and April says to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going out to the studio, and she said, you're not doing another game tomorrow, and I said, you bet your sweet, you know, butt and everything, and she's like, "Not, that ain't going to happen. She said, now, you've been messing around doing those games, and that's okay. I put up with it one week. Could you get that squirrel? Would you get the squirrel, please? Because there's a squirrel up a tree, Phil, and I've asked April to go ahead and bag it for me.
Well, what's wrong?
I don't need that thing lunging at my throat while I'm trying to do what I'm doing now. Get it. I don't care what you do. You can kill it. You can strangle it. I don't care if I never see it again, but I'd like you to kill it. Thank you. Yeah, April's here, so she'll deal with it.
Well, you know what? Why don't you just go inside?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you go inside? What are you out there at the pond for if you got a fear being attacked by a squirrel? You got your wife there.
She's going to leave. As soon as you get that squirrel, I'd like you to go in the house. As soon as you get the squirrel, I'd like you to go in the house. I'm not going to be at the game. I'm talking to Phil Henry about how you humiliated me. Yeah, she's laughing now. Do you bag it? Well, she's got a bag. She's got a burlap sack. She says there's a squirrel in it, so she's walking off now. So I was getting ready to come out to the game, come out to the studio, and she taps me on the shoulder and says, where are you going? I said, I'm on my way over to the studio. She goes, for what? I said, to go see the, you know, to practice the game. And she goes, that's tell me another one. Yeah, you know, why don't you pull the other one? It's got bells on it. And I said, you got to be kidding. And she said, yep. She said, you've been going to these games every single weekend, and now, she lied to me because there's another squirrel looking at me right now. So I said, you got to be kidding. She goes, no, you're staying home this weekend. I said, April, I told Phil and everybody, and she goes, I don't care, you're staying home, and, you know, because we're going over to the L.A. County Arboretum because they're having the African floral display. And I said, oh, my God, I got to do the game.
Well, she did call me.
She did.
Yeah, she did call me. She apologized. Said, Phil, I'm sorry, but Steve is going with me and the kids to the Arboretum. And she asked me about it because I grew up in Arcadia, where that is.
Yeah, I know.
And, well, you do?
Yeah, I mean, I, she said, oh, Mr. Henry, you know, and all that. I said, well, that's fine. You got me sitting in a tram, you know, and all the other guys are watching a football game, and I'm sitting on my can in a tram, and I'm riding through the African, you know, orchids and everything. And she's like, you know, you're going to have to suck it up and be a man about it. And I said, look, I'm married to you. And that's when she, you know, made that look on her face like she was going to, you know, put me somewhere where it would be years before they'd find me. And when they did, the clothes would be fine. But what's inside of them ain't going to be.
I get it, Steve. All right, let's take a break. Steve Bozell with us. Perhaps you can get on another phone, Steve, and get away from those squirrels, whatever that is.
What's his problem with the squirrels?
The squirrels are up the tree.
I thought Dean Wheeler had the same problem.
Dean Wheeler's got a squirrel problem. I don't know what it is, but these guys, Dean goes out in his backyard, and he's hired two different companies that I know of. Now we got Steve, and he's out there at the pond, and he's got squirrels up a tree. At least Steve doesn't imagine the squirrels are laughing at him or conspiring against him. I'll give him that much. All right, we'll be back here, folks, with more from Steve Bozell on what's happening in terms of the, you know, in terms of his involvement with our game of the week. His wife has told him that he is not allowed to do the game. I feel really stupid because it's almost as if, you know, what's going on here, man? It's almost as if we asked him to come out and play and his mom won't let him, you know?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, that's the way it is with you clowns, so that's the way we have to be.
Yeah, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
You gotta be kidding.
Oh, no, hold on. Yes, I am kidding.
Doug, bag, get a rice
rocket. I'm joking. I said I was gonna get a rice rocket. No. I don't want to die. I wouldn't mind having a motorcycle just for the freeing nature of it. I wouldn't mind. You know, I had one as a kid, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. I didn't enjoy the fact that every 5 seconds somebody was reminding me that you can get killed on one of those. That bothered me. I get it already. I understand already. How old do you think I am? You know.
Well, Phil, they're not safe.
No kidding. Do you know from the time I've been 13 years old, people have been telling me they're not safe? I understand. I understand you got to wear a helmet. I understand you got to avoid riding on wet surfaces. I understand all of it. You know, and I understand already. God, if they're not safe, they're not safe. I enjoy riding motorcycles from time to time because it's a marvelously fun way of getting from one place to the next. I'm not talking about it as the primary commute vehicle. I'm just talking about having a bike.
Well, you gotta get a bike, then get a rice rocket. Get a Harley or a BMW or something.
I'm talking about BMW.
Yeah, a BMW's good. Or get a Honda, like a road cruiser.
I don't want to get one of those old guy bikes, no. All right, let me get back here to Steve Bozell, who's on the line with us here from Corona, California. Steve, we was going to try to get on another phone, but maybe we'll do that some of the time, Steve. So tell me, so your wife says to you...
My wife
my wife says to me that you are not going to be allowed to go and do the game. Now, you say that she called you.
She did call me. She said, you know, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but Steve has to go with us to the Arboretum for the annual African orchid display. And it did sound to me like she was rubbing it in a little bit.
See, right there, hey, April, hey, she's back in the house. So she did rub it in.
Well, not rub it in, but I laughed and she laughed. She said, Steve's going to come with us to the orchid thing. And I said, well, it's a Sunday afternoon. That's a heck of a way. And she goes, yeah, I know. But she said he's got to spend some time with us, and he's been spending every Sunday afternoon doing the games.
Okay, so what she did was paraded me for all the world like some boy that just she wiggles her finger and I'm sitting there on a tram looking at orchids. See, that's the whole part of it that bothered me, because I got the call from Hutchins and Pettigrew both, who got the word got leaked to them. And when Roy Hutchins and Cliff Pettigrew get the word might as well be put on Voice of America or any ham set that you can pick up in Iceland, because they're going to tell everybody. And sure enough, I come home, I got messages up the wazoo, voicemail, email, text messages. Hey, you know, how was the tram ride? And, you know, this and that. And did you buy some of them little, and one of the guys, I think it might have been Pettigrew or one of my other crew guys, he says to me, did you buy any of them little kibble nuts that you can get in a vending machine for the squirrels? Or, I mean, for, you know, how you can buy those things?
Yeah, they have little, like, corn.
Yeah. You get the corn for, and like that, and I go... And I go, you know what? You can rot. You can rot here on Earth, and then continue the rot down in hell. And that didn't dissuade them. And
well, I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Well, you didn't do it. April did it.
Well, how do you figure Hutchins and Pettigrew heard?
I don't think April called them up. She's not going to do that. But Hutchins has probably leaned over the back fence like he always does and said, "Hey, April, I don't hear the game of the week." And that's when she probably April Jr. said something like, "Yeah, my daddy, you know, went over to the flower show." God.
Well, Steve, take it easy, man. You know, a man spends time with his wife and his kids. That's not a bad thing.
I know that, but did they have to say I'm sitting on a tram going through a jungle?
What do you mean going through a jungle?
Because part of the tram ride goes through the jungle over there.
So?
Well, I'm just saying, the whole effect of me going to a flower show, riding a tram through a jungle, and skirting the edge of a lagoon, they think I'm on some little... They think I'm, you know, in Middle Earth or something, and I'm wearing a bonnet. I mean, that's the part that I can't live through. That's the part that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around.
What are you having a hard time wrapping your mind around?
You know, Steve, this is General Shaw. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
I'm listening here with great interest to the conundrum, if you know what that means, a conundrum. And it sound, is that an ape? I hear an ape in that tree.
It does sound like a monkey, but I've been assured by the tree surgeon and the botanists that have been out here that there ain't no monkey up there. It's most likely a squirrel.
Because I thought I heard a distinct, right there, I heard another chimpanzee sound.
Yeah, I did too, but like I said, I called out Roy's tree trimming. And they assured me, they crawled up there, and I said, do you see any kind of primate life? And they said, no, you know, we're up here trimming the treetop, and he looked at me like I was weird, so...
All right, well, what I want to know, you went out to see the botany. Now, I'm a general of the United States Army, and I've seen combat, and yet I enjoy very much going to different floral displays and so forth. But I suppose that's because I've had the experience of the hellishness of war, and you have been sitting doing whatever you do.
Well, see, that's, you're slamming me.
Well, I'm not slamming you, but I think you need to assert yourself and tell your wife that you want to go and do the game, and she can grab some, one of the guys. What about the guys that do her hair? Can she get one of them?
I tried to. I said, you know, what about Dale, who's the guy over there at Hair Planet, and she said, what about him? I said, why don't you take Dale with you to go? And she said, Dale's watching the football game. I said, man, you got to be kidding me. I said,
Wait. She said, the guy, the what?
The guy that does her hair, he's watching the ball game.
Well, what makes you guys think that gay guys don't like football?
Well, I don't know. I just assumed, naturally, and I didn't make it. If I'm making an assumption that's insulting, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I. Hold on for a minute. I gotta get a drink of water.
Talking to Steve Bozell here. I'm going to let you go here in a second, Steve. I don't want this to...
Right now I'm trying to. I'm wondering again if I could get Roy's tree service back out here to see. I hear that. Do you hear that, General?
I do. I can hear what sounds to me to be the very distinct chirping of either a lemur or a lower ape life. But you say the tree trimming service says no go.
That's right. I called out Roy's tree trimmer, which is not Roy Hutchins. It's a whole different Roy. And they went up and they said, if you can find a monkey up here, man, you're a better man than me. And he kept on trimming the. And I made the joke. I said, well, yeah, I see one right now. He's trimming a treetop. And that's when he crawled down the tree and went, got in his truck and left. And no explanation, no nothing.
You know, I what's that again?
I said,
no, hold on. You know, your world is filled with more, like, just tender asses than I've seen in my life. The guy crawled down from the tree and did what?
He said, there's no monkey life up here, and I said, except for the guy trimming the treetop, and that's when he just dropped the shears to the ground, crawled down the tree, picked them up, went to the truck, and left.
Oh, he was offended by the ape crack. Well, big deal. I mean, it's a funny joke.
That's what I thought. But not me, no, not Steve Bozell.
Well, it sounds like you're coming apart at the seams there, Steve. Yeah, Steve, we're going to let you go, man, okay? All right, well, that poor man.
Poor man. Steven Bozell is one for the books, I can tell you that much. One for the books.
All right, I guess the game of the week is on suspension until we figure out more. We will have Joe Dickhead and his picks this coming weekend. And as far as we know, there's no monkey life in any of the trees up there on Steve's property.
And what is this, Roy's Tree Service?
Roy's Tree Service, not Roy Hutchins, is who he uses to trim his trees. And I guess he's got a guy that works for him who trims trees that has no sense of humor.
Well, when you call a man an ape, Phil...
Oh, he didn't. He's joking. He said there's no monkey life up here except for the guy trimming the trees. Anyway, we'll see you guys later. See you tomorrow night, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.